This is CliffCentral.com.
Hello, Dacha couple. Look, they're here, Mubs. Hey, you two. Take some seats here and make yourselves comfortable. It's Julian Stubbs, Myrtle Clark. They are the Dacha couple. They have been tirelessly campaigning. Tirelessly. They're not exhausted. They should be, but they're not exhausted. And they're here today to talk about what might happen in terms of medicinal marijuana being made, decriminalized, being made legal for use in certain places. And we're going to just check out what those parameters are, because they're always parameters with this stuff. They always have to be controls, because, you know, God forbid people should be able to decide for themselves. So let's talk to the... Oh, they just gave each other a kiss. What a sweet thing to see.
Isn't that
nice?
And they're holding hands.
And they're holding hands. They still love each other after all these years. Isn't that nice, huh? Isn't that lovely? That's so sweet to see. All right, here they are. Say hello to the Dacha couple, everybody. It's Julian and Myrtle. Hello. Let me get your microphones on here and let's talk to you two. It's been a while since we last caught up.
Yeah.
And it's always nice to find an excuse to catch up. We shouldn't have to have them. But there's possibly some positive movement going on.
It's very positive, yeah. Out of the blue, the Medical Control Council just rescheduled the cannabis plant. And nobody really expected it that quickly. And it is a seismic shift.
Oh. Right.
So where was it scheduled before?
So it's always been scheduled as Schedule 7. Which is completely and utterly no-go. This stuff is incredibly dangerous. It's more dangerous than cocaine and heroin, and you should definitely...
It was more dangerous?
Yeah, no,
more
completely. Dangerous. No medicinal value whatsoever. That's Schedule 7. It has no medicinal qualities.
What else is in Schedule 7?
All the methcathinones.
Jesus.
Yeah, so, but cocaine, of course, has medicinal value. Yeah.
So does heroin.
Now
it's as dangerous as cocaine and heroin, because it's in the same. It's only gone from 7 to 6.
Oh wow!
So in 6, we now sit. Our weed sits on the same table as cocaine and heroin.
So yeah. Those progressive people at the MCC. One whole schedule.
You know, bow down before.
It's a seismic shift, because all of a sudden they claim it's medicine. That's what Schedule 6 is. Schedule 7 has no medicinal value. Schedule 6. It has medicinal value.
But
so
it's still terribly, terribly dangerous.
Yeah, no, they've taken one word out of it. One is extreme harm, that's Schedule 7, to harmful, Schedule 6. So there's the nuance, but the bottom line is it means it opens up the plant to research on human beings.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how long it's taken for this seismic shift to happen?
93 years. It is. It's so about 100 years of prohibition, and not one substance out of the 1992 Act has ever been rescheduled, ever. That's what I mean by a seismic shift. Wow. We now have a dangerous...
Hold on a second. It's taken longer than Robert Mugabe's been alive?
About the same time, with as many blood transfusions.
All right, so this is a very big deal. You must be pleased.
Yeah, up to a point. To put it into Schedule 6 is absolutely no use to me, because I'll be arrested the minute I leave the building for having it in my body. It is a very specific act they are dealing with here, and it sounds like we could all go to the pharmacy tomorrow and pick up some medical weed, but that is a long way off.
Okay, so we're not nearly at the stage we need to be at. See, I don't want to become a campaigner for this, but it almost irritates me. No, it irritates me enough. You know, I don't smoke weed. I could care less about it for my own personal use and consumption. It's just not something I want. But I don't see how, in America, they just had the elections. And the story behind the elections, the story that other people aren't paying as much attention to as Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, is the number of states that have decriminalized marijuana use, either medicinal and even in some states recreational.
Completely recreational use.
Yeah. So how many states was it? It was 9 of them, I think.
There was 9 that voted, and 8 got the sort of nod for what they're wanting. And out of those 8, there were 4 states that now have complete legalization for responsible adult use.
Yeah, so I mean, that's like 40 million people in California voted yes. 40 million.
And not all those people are smoking weed, so there are a lot
Not all those people are sick either.
And so most of the people who would have voted for this are people like me who don't really have an interest in it, but don't believe that people who should be put in jail.
They're anti-prohibitionists. They understand that the system of prohibition is a crock. And we are dealing with the fight for cannabis, but we are very well aware that prohibition of all substances should fall away. It's not just the human rights of cannabis users, because even heroin users have human rights. That's a very big question. I mean, society's not really ready for it. 70% of Americans know that cannabis should be legal, but only 17% of adults in America can get their heads around the falling away of prohibition in its entirety. We've got a long way to go with that. But we get people, some detractors, telling us about our drug apartheid. We just want to talk about cannabis, but what about us? We do cocaine. We've got human rights as well. Strange argument.
Yeah, so you end up with enemies in your own camp.
But
as we were driving here, we were listening to the radio and you were carrying on about positivity. And, you know, weed makes us positive. Because if we didn't smoke weed right now, we'd want to slit our wrists. Because the government are playing God. They are just going to decide. If you've got Schedule 3 cancer and you're not quite nearly dead yet, then no. Then you will go to jail for your weed use. But if you've got Schedule 4 cancer and there's no more hope, they can't do any more chemo on you,
then it's okay.
Sure. Then it's okay.
Bye-bye.
So
here's
we're just trying really, really hard to stay positive and see this as a step in the right direction.
Right.
But it's...
I was talking to Mabali about this earlier. First of all, it's just ridiculous that we should be moralizing about a plant. It's insane. It's like someone talking to a tortoise and expecting the tortoise to figure shit out.
It
what is
a bit
wrong
like
with
that.
People?
Well, that's why it took 97 years. It's like a tortoise. It's a tortoise project.
Okay.
They are kicking their heels. They're dragging their heels. They really are doing things excruciatingly slow.
Who are the main groups that are so in favor of prohibition?
The rehabs and the Christians. Well, I don't want to single out the Christians. I'll single out the religious groups.
Yeah,
okay?
Religious groups.
Religious groups and rehabs. Rehabs mainly because they see
the
bottom of the barrel
and
it's business. And also because they're dealing with people who have got substance use issues all the time. So they think that everybody who uses any substance has got an issue with it because that's what they're bury themselves in. And also they won't have the courts sending them all of these poor dacha users to go for rehab because they've got such an issue with their dacha use. I mean, at the moment in our Join the Queue legal initiative, we've got 60 active cases, and that is the tiniest little drop in the ocean of the 1,000 arrests a day for dacha. We say this over and over again. There are 60 people on our books who are severely traumatized by this law at the moment. And now we're meant to be clapping our hands and jumping up and down because some person who's nearly dead can use the plant.
But what about these arguments that you'll hear from patches of the scientific community that will say things like dacha use can lead to, you know, various things such as early onset Alzheimer's. You know, what about those
They
arguments?
Never say can. They say might or could. They've never locked it down properly.
Up to now in this country, you've never been able to experiment.
Well, that's right. That's why the seismic shift of taking it out of a schedule to research it is it's top of our list of clap your hands today. But as far as the law goes that it is embedded in, it is a very exclusive law, and they plan on setting up a clinic that would have up to 100 patients in it. And what those patients have in common is they're all terminal, and they are all the only way you're going to get this medical cannabis is if there isn't another form of treatment for your illness. So that locks it down pretty much tight.
Let's just go back to the people who are against you, openly against you. All right, so you said it's the rehabs and the Christians.
Or both.
Many Christians, many
Christian-based rehabs.
Christian rehabs are the worst.
Christian rehabs, whoa.
What is the Christians' problem with dacha?
Well,
I don't remember anything in the Bible.
Because
about
you mustn't
dacha.
Change your consciousness. You must be completely sober.
High
all
on
the
life.
Time.
etc. Masturbating about a drug-free world, etc., etc. Sorry, can I say that word?
I don't think you could say masturbating because Christians don't like masturbating either.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff done in private, even in a Christian enclave.
You know, the eighth defendant in our court case is somebody called Doctors for Life International, and they do the whole package. They do abortion, gay marriage, and drugs.
You guys,
together.
They're on your side.
No, we're the plaintiffs.
Remember, we're suing the government, so they're defending. Yeah, no, they're together with the government. So,
why do these guys, they've
got the whole package.
What do they have a problem with, these Doctors for Life?
They have a problem with the fact that if you change your consciousness, then you are morally corrupt, I suppose.
You can't be enslaved by religion.
Don't go there. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So. You know, these guys also claim on their website that homosexuality is a curable disease. So these people are going to go to the High Court and they're going to go to argue against us for the government as the medical fraternity helping the government to make decisions about.
It's outrageous.
It is an outrage.
But you know, our legal team have said to us this. 30% of people who are totally behind us, 30% of people who are maybe a little bit undecided, and 30% who are totally against us. And there is a point where you can't worry about those people that are totally against you, those real fundamentals. You know, you've just got
you're
to kind of.
Them.
Well, they're
the same
whatever.
People who probably would like to bring back apartheid. They're
totally.
Probably, you know, they're those
death
kind
penalty,
of
all of that. Yeah.
Now, what about everyone's favorite argument that cannabis is a gateway drug towards things?
Well, it is a gateway drug.
Okay.
We see it as a gateway to better health and more connection with yourself. The gateway theory has been debunked so many times. In fact, we make a joke about it. It's not a gateway. It's an exit. There are more people using cannabis in America to get over their opioid addictions than any other time in history. It's an analgesic. It's a painkiller. It chills you out. It's exactly the same as a Prozac, in effect. So people are getting off their prescription medications in America and using cannabis as an exit to those drugs. So we call it the gateway to better health.
Do you think that there are any arguments that make sense about how it could addle your brain? And
it does.
Bring on atrophy. And
Well, you know, sometimes it's good to forget stuff.
Yeah,
completely. But I mean, you guys don't seem to me to be low-functioning people. But,
Must be anomalies out of the millions of people who use it. Eh?
Okay, so I've met some... like heavy pot smokers, but they probably were that way before they started smoking pot as well, in terms of their ability to kind of comprehend the world or care about it. But do you think that there is a danger that some people slip into a state of kind of almost semi-vegetation where they kind of become
absolutely now there are some people who just shouldn't be using this stuff, and people make the mistake that our challenge is to make it compulsory for everyone to use the cannabis plant. They have an affront. You can't expect everybody to use cannabis. Well, we don't.
It's crazy.
What we're trying to do here is give everybody the freedom of choice to decide whether they want to use it or not without seeing the inside of a holding cell. That's it.
How many people get arrested for smoking weed, for possessing
weed? Are
you
ready for this?
Yeah.
1,000 people per day in South Africa.
You're joking.
We reckon there are 305 magistrates' courts in the country, and every one of them have 3 DACA cases a day. That's the way. That's our really, really serious mathematics.
And
the only way we can do it.
What happens to these people?
Well,
most of them land up with a criminal record. And a criminal record is an insidious thing because it's there in the background lurking in your life, and it might not affect you at all if you're lucky, but one day you might decide, you're going to go and teach English in Vietnam. Boom!
You can't.
Criminal
you
can't. Record. One day you might decide, you're going to go for that hotshot corporate job. Boom! Sorry, no job. You've
felony,
got a criminal record because when you were a student, you got caught with 0.3 of a gram.
Outrageous.
We can't even comprehend how many young people in South Africa are walking around with a criminal record they don't even know they've got. They were cacking themselves in the charge office in a police station, and the duty officer said, sign here, sign admission of guilt, $100, it's all over. So they do, and they think for their $100 they're free, $100 they're free to go. They are, but they got a 10-year suspended. Because the police, at that point, they need a statistic in the war on drugs. And that suspended sentence is a conviction. So people buckle under the pressure and the fear in a police office. And they just go, show me, where's the pen? and they sign this away, and they have no idea about the repercussions of it. So we have spent the last 2 years, 3 years, setting up systems to deal with those people, to nurture them through the process of being arrested and through the first appearance at a magistrate, and don't pick up that pen and don't sign a thing. Because what are you guilty of, Gareth?
Nothing.
Right. Who did you hurt? Where is the victim in all of this?
Yeah. It's a victimless crime.
Sure.
And any victimless crime shouldn't really exist as a crime.
Yeah, so, look, it's so easy,
you know, it's so easy. It breaks your heart. This guy's sitting in Durban on the beachfront waiting for his girlfriend, who's a waitress, to finish work. And he's sitting there and he's fiddling on his phone. He's got half an hour to wait. Boom, boom, the cops come and knock on his window. He says to him, listen, constitutionally, you're not allowed to search me. They wrench him out of his car. They find 0.3 of a gram in his car. You know, I mean, what is that about? The guy's not. He's sitting there watching the sea, waiting for his girlfriend to finish work. And I promise you, we hear that hundreds and hundreds of times a month.
But what
people
kind of,
minding their own business.
What's in it for the cops? Because
statistics
being hard on the war on drugs.
Because if they can get that conviction. They can get that conviction. It's a little tick on their book, and they need so many. The charge office, they will say in the morning, they have this meeting, just like in the movies.
Yeah.
Caledon Police Station, 8 o'clock in the morning. All the officers gathered. Station commander comes in and says, right, I want 7 Dacha arrests today. And we know that because we've got an insider at the Caledon Police Station. I want 7 Dacha arrests today. And I promise you, even in a small town like Caledon, if you go out, you go into the townships, you are going to get your 7 Dacha arrests, guaranteed.
Well,
I mean, what else are unemployed people meant to do?
Right, yeah, well, you can say exactly. That for all substances. Most people hit some hard substances because of the hardness and the hardship of their lives. They don't do drugs for a laugh. They do drugs for the escapism. Imagine waking up in Mitchell's plane for the 457th time since you left school with absolutely no hope whatsoever of getting out of Mitchell's plane. Of course you're going to do a tick lolly and sit on the steps and dribble for the next 6 hours. There's nothing else for them to do.
There are people who believe that legalizing all these drugs is not, it doesn't make the situation better, because alcohol is a legal drug, but we know that in this country particularly, we have major problems with
we don't have a major problem with suspended sentences for using that particular legal drug. I mean, if you go and crash through the back of 30 school children driving a mini when you're high on whatever it is, you deserve everything. But nobody really, really goes down for being completely drunk and disorderly. It's almost accepted in society that that's what will happen with that drug.
Now, keeping it illegal is not working. So,
no, not
you know,
at all.
It's not working, bottom line.
We have to try. It's the only thing that nobody's tried yet is to legalize it across the board. Control it.
Mario Ambrosini, who died last year, he was the IFP MP, and he decided in his sort of, he came to terms. A lot of MPs only suddenly find their conscience when they're faced with their own mortality or the a threat to their own happiness, health, or security.
Indeed.
And to his credit, even though it probably took longer and he had to feel this himself to feel for other people, he decided he needed to start a war of his own against the prohibition of medical marijuana, and he made some headway, and it turns turns out that now all three of the major parties in Parliament are in favor of a decriminalization of the use of medical marijuana. Do you think this is going
to
happen in your lifetimes?
Oh, yeah.
The recreational?
Oh, completely.
Oh, yes.
I didn't used to, but now I'm absolutely convinced this is the precursor to the government realizing that my human rights are completely the same as a terminal patient's. They're using terminal patients as being the precursor to being soft on drugs, I would imagine. But at the moment, I'm going to go to jail for my use because I'm fit and well. So we've got this... We can tell on our feeds through all the social media that most people think there is good dacha and bad dacha. There's medical marijuana, which is good for you, and there's dacha, which isn't. But actually, the medical innovation bill that you talk about with Mario Ambrosini, there is no mention of the word cannabis in the bill. They call it cannabinoid medication. They're talking about manipulating the plant and extracting elements of the plant from it to give to cancer sufferers. That's not legal dacha. Well, that is manipulated that laboratory product.
Like that sounds like a profit motive for the pharmaceutical company.
Oh, the whole
companies.
Thing is, then don't get us wrong. We are very positive about this move from 7 to 6, but we're under no illusion that there is a long way to go in our fight to have legal cannabis that helps every citizen in South Africa, not just a few rich, terminally ill patients somewhere in a clinic around the country.
Forget about it if you've got cancer and you live in Adutswa in the Eastern Cape. Forget about it. You know? Sure. You got breast cancer and you live in Morningside. Sure. You know, but the thing with Mario and we got quite close to him towards the end and the whole medical innovation bill. One of the last things that he ever said to us on a Skype conversation was, get cannabis out the medical innovation bill, because it became the cannabis bill. And actually, originally, when Mario and our advocate, Robin Strancham Ford, wrote that bill, it was written for all treatment for terminally ill patients, be it bicarb, be it vitamin C, be it whatever, you know,
stem cells, all that kind of thing.
The bill was written for all types of treatment to be accessible to terminally ill patients. But because cannabis is such a newsworthy topic, and everybody loves this plant so much, it's totally taken over the bill. Yeah. And now, since Mario died and Robin subsequently died as well, IFP...
You guys are left all alone.
Yeah, the IFP have valiantly carried on his work.
Can you choose someone younger next time to represent you?
Yeah,
They've watered it down. And now it comes to this down to only cannabis and only this little thing. So that's also a bit sad, because the politicians are using Mario's legacy to blow their own trumpet.
And
in the meantime, that's not really Mario's legacy. It was for all treatments
for
terminally
ill. This is driving me to drink. Okay, here's the problem. Like I can see no problem with you two and Mabali going up onto the roof just now and sitting there and just chilling, right? And I don't understand how everybody who isn't doing that is impacted negatively by this. I mean, you drive down the road. You've got fossil fuel, carbon emission, carbon monoxide shit that you're breathing in. There's filth all around it. People coughing on each other. There's Zika viruses flying around South America. There's all kinds of real issues. Yeah. And you're telling me our Department of Health is fixated on this one plant.
Yeah, imagine that. Just one plant. How many medicinal plants are there in South Africa? How many plants are in our garden that could actually kill you with a toxic dose? But they're not legislating anything to do with anything about it.
And where does this leave the Sangomas? You know, where does this leave the traditional healers in South Africa?
Yeah, they've been totally disenfranchised.
You're certainly not going to be able to go to your traditional healer and say, you know, your traditional healer's not going to be able to prescribe a banky.
Because cannabis remains illegal under this bill. Cannabinoid medication is legal, which is an extraction of the plant. Because in the hearings this week that ended up with this schedule change, the Department of Health said, of course, it's only scientists that can grow this cannabis. Mm. So they've completely made it clear that they want control of this industry.
Let's get down to the good stuff here. All right, what are the different strains, and what should we be attempting if we're a regular user and we want to really have the best experience?
Well, the best experience of what? Yeah, just grow your own. It won't be legal until I can grow whatever I grow in my back garden and do with it whatever I wish, whether it's a suppository or smoke it in a
bottle. There are different kinds, right?
There are different strengths and there are different combinations of the cannabinoids within the plant. A lot of people would say that there's two types of plant. One is a sativa, which gives you a head high, and one is an indica, which gives you a couch lock, and you can watch all 6 episodes of a miniseries without moving an inch. There are those two extremes, but most of the plants that we see on the street are a hybrid of all of these, and they've been schmangled up for 2 generations of hippies trying to blend them all together to get the most perfect high. Well, the most perfect high was probably 60 years ago before they started messing with it. But there are plants for different reasons. But in a prohibition landscape, we're lucky to get what we get. You know, some people get hold of us by email and say, I want this very specific medicine. It's called this, and you can get it in California, and it's for my fibromyalgia.
You're like, good luck.
But we go, well, have a nice day. You go to the disc chem and ask them. We can't. You get what you're given in a prohibition paradigm.
Okay, hang on. Let me just try and understand what you're saying here. So you speak of the cannabis oil. What's the word?
Cannabinoids. They are the alkaloids within the plant.
The cannabinoids that the scientists can extract. Yeah. And you said that is the stuff that is good for you.
Oh, yes.
But I mean the stuff that you buy at a random corner somewhere that's been laced with God knows what.
It could be laced with God knows what.
That stuff is not good for you. Is that what you're saying?
Well, what they've laced it is not good with us, but good for us. But the plant itself is not bad for anybody. There's nothing toxic about any form of dacha in anything, whether it's a brick that's been stuffed into the back of a baki coming through the border at Swaziland for a couple of grand, or whether it's a 500 rand beautiful sticky bud from some hydro operation in Sandton. It's all the same. It's got the same cannabinoids. Mm. THC is THC, whether it's from skank or swag, you know?
Listen to this.
Sorry, would you like to know what skank or swag is?
He would.
Totally out of my depth.
Another term to also put into your dacha lexicon of terms is the entourage effect.
Yes. What's that?
And one of our most esteemed expert witnesses who's coming out for the trial of the plant is a big proponent of this. That is the whole plant. This plant has been delivered to us as a whole plant.
Yeah.
You don't extract this and use this little bit of that. And yes, sure. Let's refine it and let's do the best we can. But ultimately, the best thing for you is whole plant medicine, not tampered with, extracted.
And then what about smoking the plant? Because there is that argument that, well, you know, if you smoke it, you're messing up your lungs, and how could that possibly be good for you? What would be the best way then to inject the cannabinoids?
There are different ways of ingesting it through your lungs. You can vaporize it to minimize the effects of all of the harmful smoke that you would put on your lungs. And basically, you know, after 30 years of using the plant, if all I'm going to get out of it is some sort of bronchial condition, I'll live with it. Thanks. It's the risk I'm going to take as a recreational cannabis user. A bit of bronchitis, that's all fine by me. But I don't need to go to jail for it.
This one's been coughing for the last 2 weeks.
Well, we've got something for you for that.
It's proved to be a bronchodilator.
Rob from Amsterdam, go ahead. Rob, hey, how are you, bro?
Hey, how are you guys?
Well, he sounds like he's in Amsterdam.
What's happening, Rob?
Oh, dude.
Yeah. How does it work over there? It's not illegal, is it?
What?
We.
Rob, come on.
No, dude. Totally illegal, man. Like, I think Amsterdam is like the pioneering city in like what it's like to have legalized weed, man. It's just so chill, man. And you know what I hate the most, dude? Like, when I used to smoke weed and essay, you'll get these people who like, oh, you smoke weed, but then they like have cigarettes and they'll have like a Diet Coke, eat McDonald's, and then like take like these weird medicines, bro, and they try and tell you that like that's what fucking your life up, bro. And it's just like so crazy that I think that, dude. And it's just like, yeah, man.
The Dacha couple want to know if how old you are. They might have actually made you once.
Exactly.
Sound no, pretty blazed there, dude.
Like,
yeah,
it can work, dude. It's like it's a functioning thing, dude. It's just like it's probably one of the best things I've ever seen. If you can control it properly and like just like, you know, have it where you take anything that's like hectic out of it, it's just a really good functioning thing, and it's awesome, bro. Right. It's the best thing ever.
Viva Wake and Bake, dude.
Yeah. All right. Listen, yeah, Rob, dude, we'll check in with you next week. Have a good weekend. All right.
Okay. Cool. Love my right. Stuff, bro. My
peace and love. Peace and love. There you go.
Peace There's and Rob. Love.
He's actually one of our regulars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is your son.
Sounds like he's a regular smoker. As well.
Is he your son?
People that say to us, oh, I wish you were our parents.
Oh, can you imagine? You're like the heretic parents.
Yeah.
All right, listen, you two, thank you very much again for your visit. It's always good to catch up with you. There's so many other questions, and people will want to talk to you again, so we'll get you in the new year.
Yeah.
Have a happy Christmas.
We've got a couple of gizmos for you here.
What you
just
got?
T-shirts to support the cause and stuff. Oh. We don't expect you to wear them being a non-smoker. You don't even walk around.
And you just cleaned out your closet.
And you just cleaned out your closet. So here's another one. There's a T-shirt with 50 different ways of saying the word dacha in African dialects.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right, thank you very much, the Dacha couple. How can we get hold of you guys if we want to find out more or help you?
Gosh, we're all over social media. I think the last time we put the word Dacha couple into Google, there was 180,000 responses, so you'll find us somewhere along
the line. Oh, well
done. You'll get us. We're very, very out and apparent.
Julian Stubbs, Myrtle Clark, thank you very much for coming to see us, you too, and keep up your good work.
And you keep up the positivity because South Africa needs it.
Yeah,
they need you.
We need more personal liberties too, so I'm fighting the same fight as you.
Yeah, big right. time.
Very good. There we go, everybody.
Thank you, Gareth.
The Dacha couple. And good news, even if it's a...
even if it's bad.
Even if it's a small amount of good news, it's better than nothing. We'll take what we can get with this government.
For
and
sure.
this is a very slight move forward.
This is CliffCentral.com.